Kia ora, good evening, Fred. You're standing for the third time, is it?
Kia ora, John, and good evening, Raglan, Whangaroa. Yes, I intend to stand for a third time.
I've not seen any of your placards along the road.
Placards, no. Look,
billboards, placards, whatever you like to call them.
All those plastic cheesy grins all the way, along State Highway 23 and throughout the Waikato. No, you won't see me on those. You know, I'm pretty much resting on what I've achieved in Whangaroa and people appreciating that. You know, I kind of walk the talk, and part of that is definitely not putting up plastic photos of myself all over the place. I'm not that desperate for the job. There's a lot that are, and I think the more plastic signs there are shows the more desperate there are to rule, in my opinion. But, you know.
The Green Party tried using cardboard the ones last time, but then they fell apart in the rain. So seems you either need plastic or nothing. So.
Plastic or nothing. Look, there are a lot of councillors that are not using those plastic things, because they're not environmentally friendly at all.
Yeah. And we have had a plastic-free Raglan campaign, and now we've got placards all over the place. So,
That's not me. And I'd hate to think that anyone would tag me, so I couldn't handle that, John. I'm not going to give them the opportunity.
Yeah, because I think most people these days get their information from radio and social media and just talking to people and things like that, rather than looking at placards. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty old school. You know, when it comes to communicating, it is either like on your radio show or through the Chronicle or whenever I'm asked. And you've probably seen my profile in newspapers more than you need to of late. And that's really just to do with the political side of what goes on within council. And it's kind of disappointing that my face is associated with that. But again, you know, I'm pretty much a non-nonsense type. And whether it's the chair of council, the CE of council, or other councillors or staff for that matter, I'll have a crack at them if they're wasting rates or they're not respecting the environment and our community. That's political.
One of the headlines I've seen recently was about the cost of the former chair of regional council's legal case. And have you got any update on that, or where it's got to?
I think it's around $170,000. $170,000.
That he's paying, or the ratepayers are paying?
No, the ratepayers had to pay that portion, and he had to pay something like upper of $45,000. Because he wants to be a ruler. He wants the power over the people. Even when democracy has voted by majority that we wanted to change our ruler, our chair, he decided he needed to take it to court and have the judge overturn that. And that sounds like another American political leader. And he was very much in support of that political leader as well, and he seems to be following that same thing. But, it's unfortunate that we've got dragged into that part of politics, because really I'm there to try and improve our region's environment.
I've not seen any explanation of why the case was dropped. Do you know anything about that, Tom?
Well,
anything you can say, because it seems that talking on the radio, you end up being asked for affidavits about what you said.
Affidavits about what I've said. Well, look, I'm as transparent as, and look, I can give you my opinion, and my opinion is the evidence that was put forward in my defence was extremely strong, and that he couldn't defend himself, that my vote was legitimate, and it was, and by the book, you know, the law said that I'm allowed to vote. I voted. There was 8 councillors. There's 14 councillors.
That was the vote on who should be chair of regional council.
Exactly. Yeah. And I should be entitled to make that or have that choice. The chair voted as well. He voted to to appoint a new chair. So, again, that's politics, eh? And look, it's taken 2 years, and that's two terms, which is triennium. So that's 6 years now of being upskilling myself as being a politician. And that experience shouldn't be thrown out the door right now, in my opinion. I've finally worked out how to play the political game by ending up in all sorts of predicaments and hopefully avoiding those and concentrate on what I've been elected to do. It's just unfortunate in the political game, and they call it a political game, that there are power-crazy people out there and they want to be rulers. And if you try and stand up against them, they will use others and manipulate and actually vote what you want down on a numbers game. And that's politics. I hate it.
Is there any way around it, or what would you like to see change in the next 3 years, assuming you're re-elected?
Well, again, it comes down to the people that are standing, and it comes down to the people that want that are voting. And the people that are voting, they really need to take a really good look at that campaign book and look at what those people are actually standing for and whether or not it's going to end up putting us in a better place in 3 years' time, or is it c'est la vie, and things continue to deteriorate. Regional council is about managing our natural resources. That's really one of our first or the uppermost jobs, work of regional council, managing our natural resources. Mm-hmm. There are other things.
It started off as a rivers authority, didn't it? The Waikato Rivers Authority, and then gradually gained extra jobs on top of that.
That's right. Way back it was. And, you know, biodiversity now and the treaty settlements that have been passed down from government to manage. There's buses, transport, climate change, water quality, of course, soil, coastal now from out to the, 40 nautical mile mark. So, yeah, we've got a huge list of things that we're supposed to achieve or manage whilst we're in regional council. And if politics gets in the way, like that nonsense that we've just gone through, other things are neglected.
Because I noticed that one of the four candidates who's standing against you, you're one of the four, but one of them's Noel Smith, who's currently the councillor from Waikato District Council for the Whatawhata area. And he said in a piece he put on the Raglan 23 website that he wanted a scientific approach to climate change. So I was interested, you mentioned climate change just then as being one of the jobs of regional council. I don't know whether you've talked to Noel and any idea what his scientific approach might be, or do you have a scientific approach, or what's your approach to it?
Most definitely. And we base most of our work on science at regional council, and science is most definitely, without denial, global warming is having an impact, and it's having a serious impact, especially on the Waikato. And we've been monitoring, or regional council's been monitoring, for example, rainfall and our river levels and aquifers over a 20-year period. And over that period, science has told us we've got a 30% reduction in rainfall. We're experiencing 30% less rainfall now than what we did 20 years ago.
So more droughts and more fires and things like that, is it?
More droughts, less water. So, you know, towns, you know, water security is going to be a big issue. You know, there might be less water, but there's more people. There's more draw on water. And that's a result of climate change, not more people, but definitely less water. Sea level rise, that's monitored and measured through science, and it's real. So yes, we base what we do on good scientific evidence.
Okay, so maybe Noel's in the right line in saying that you want scientific approach to climate change, then. That's what regional council is already doing. In fact, you set up a committee on climate change. That was quite new, wasn't it?
Yes, we have got a committee on climate change. In fact, you'll find all our regional councillors, all our regional councils, Auckland, Wellington, have climate change committees. Unfortunately, our Waikato Regional Council Climate Change Committee is pretty reserved compared to others. But again, it all depends on the political support you get as to how we can move forward on that particular issue. And if we haven't got the support, we've got a whole lot of farmers, and not the good farmers, perhaps, but the ones that are trying to
carry on doing things the way they always used to,
and deny that they're having an effect, then we have issues. We can't do as much as we'd like to. The same as transport. Now, we'd like to have all electric buses. We'd like to have more charging units. So there's lots of things. But if you've got deniers, you just can't even get it over the line.
Because I did talk to your current co-councillor, Pamela Storey, and she said that she voted against the extra buses because it was too expensive. But you voted for it, so why did you want to give us more expense?
Look, it's not more expensive. It's not at all more expensive. What's going to be more expensive is when climate change kicks in and we haven't got water and we can't grow the crops that we need, and people are really starting to become hungry. You know, look at the price of vegetables. Look at things already. Now, that's the crop. That's the cost. That's going to be the true cost. But it's unfortunate, again, you've got councillors that can only see today and tomorrow, and that's as far as they look. You know, they look at their bank balance and they think that it's got to be maintained at all costs, but they're not looking at the future generations.
Yeah, because she was in a minority of three on that vote, but so the majority of councillors seem to have gone along with your point of view. So,
well, yeah, that particular, and it's very unfortunate. That is my constituent, our other Waikato constituent councillor. And in my opinion, you know, there's a lot of greenwashing going on there. It's not being demonstrated at all that my constituent councillor is really pro-environment. You know, I might end up in the court there too. But
because she was chair of the Hamilton Environment Centre at one time. So, you know, she has got some background in it. But she's also a dairy farmer. So.
She's a very good chair. Very good chair. And I chaired a committee too for a little while until that was dismantled by those councillors, and that was actually the Community Restoration Committee, and that would have been a brand new committee of council, and I'm going to be pushing that one again.
Restoration of what?
Restoration of water quality.
Okay, so streams and rivers and things like that.
Streams, yeah. Rivers, and it all stems from water, John. Yeah, if we ain't got water, we ain't got nothing. So that is the most important thing to focus on, is water, water quality, and water security.
Because that's why you got involved with Whangarei Harbour Care. How many years ago is it now?
That's 30 years ago. And 27 years ago, we actually started the nursery. And, yeah, that was something that we needed to do in Whangarei, in Raglan. Back then, our harbour was a filthy mess. In fact, it was one of the worst harbours in all of New Zealand. And that was science that said that. And science is still measuring how our harbours are improving throughout the North Island. and it's by the same method, and it's catch per unit effort studies. And back then, it was one fish every 18 hours, and now it's three fish an hour. So there's been, and we're the only place in all of New Zealand.
That's when you're fishing, you're talking about.
Fishing, yeah, yep. Yes, catching a fish. Mm-hmm. Only place in all of New Zealand that has experienced that type of resource recovery. And that has been through working with farmers and fencing off and improving water quality. So it all stems from water quality. And those farmers, the reason they're doing this and paying and have paid good money to do riparian management is the spin-off is that it actually benefits them as well, their economy. It improves the stock health. They can improve stocking rates, more animals, healthier animals, and healthier pasture, yet less impact on the surrounding environment. So, you know, you talk about a win-win. And it's unfortunate that other farmers throughout the country haven't adopted it as fast as we have in Raglan. You know, 27 years ago we're doing this.
Yeah. And do you think it's a pity that they did away with the education role of the Ministry of Agriculture? Because at one time farmers used to be brought up to date with the latest techniques, with people from the ministry going around and talking to them. And, you know, it strikes me that things like that, where it's a win-win, but some people aren't doing it, they maybe don't understand what it's about, and maybe having somebody they trust to ask for advice, like it used to be in the old days, would work. Is that a possibility?
Well, that's the way it used to work. But you see, I guess I'm trying to reinvent that through having community restoration. And that is then working with your environmentalists, your community leaders within each of the towns around the region, and actually sitting them around the table and saying, well, hey, look what's happened here in Whangaroa, and look, why do you think the government has said now we need to be doing this work nationally, and this is how we do it. Now, who in your community do you know that might like to take on a catchment manager's role and involve your community, create employment, get a list of farmers that want to start this work, and voila, you know, you got something like Harbourcare, where we've been paid employees to do this job now for 27 years, and we've transformed our landscape for the benefit of Raglan, the harbour, and now look, everybody wants to live here.
Because I remember a few years ago you were saying that there was a problem with the area north of the harbour, the Wainaro sort of catchment. Is there still a problem with that, or has that caught up?
Absolutely. We're far from pristine. There's a lot of work that still could be done, should be done. But for various reasons, it hasn't been done, because there are some landowners that haven't bought into this. They either can't afford to do it or simply don't believe it and don't do it. But there would be at least now 70% of all the landowners in the catchment are on board. All you have to do is give it a chance. Really just, you know, make a start. Nature can take up a whole lot of slack, but you've got to give it a little bit of a chance, a little bit of support. And of course, things have moved on now from just improving water quality and riparian fencing and planting. You know, it's now carbon capture and biodiversity. Well, you know, getting smart and doing that is putting in a decent riparian width and concentrating from mountain to mountain, like from Parongia to Kariori, through to the sea.
And going the other way through to Mongatawhiri and the
exactly.
big fenced-off area they've got there. So all that's being worked on at the moment, isn't it, I think?
That's right.
Yeah.
So if we can get these biodiversity corridors and wide enough that you can get carbon capture that are working along stream margins, you know, we're really then thinking smart and getting the job done. But in Raglan, you know, the benefit to the landowners in doing this, these marginal areas now, if you get it wide enough, you're going to get more for carbon capture, as in carbon credits, than you will for a few sheep or a cow grazing the same areas. It's just more economically now viable to be putting in carbon capture plantations than farming in a lot of areas.
So are some people who were early innovators setting an example to their neighbours, and they're saying that maybe this is the thing to do, or is that not happening on a big scale?
Oh, it's still happening. And, you know, I've been mentoring care groups all over the country. You know, Puni River Care, for example, in Kiki. They're employing around 37 staff, and they're growing around a million trees a year. And they're the ones that are doing part of this biodiversity corridor from Mangatauri through to Porongia. So, yeah, and it was only 6 years ago he first turned up at our nursery, and he didn't have any idea, or they didn't have any idea, on how to collect a seed, a manuka seed, and grow it. And now, proof in the pudding, it's not rocket science, and what it does is build a lot of pride in communities as well. You know, you get a lot of younger people that are perhaps not rocket scientists, and really get a lot of pride in being kaitiaki and guardians of this in doing this work. And it's very rewarding at the end of the day, where you can see biodiversity return. And, you know, I love fishing, and that's really one of my selfish reasons for doing this work in Raglan, was so when I retire, I can go out there and catch a fish. And that's chuck a line off the beach, not buy a big flash boat and go for out to the 20 metre mark or beyond to bring home a feed of fish. And it's worked. We you know, there's still more work that needs to be done, and we're doing it. You know, we're still planting trees every year, as you know, John, with as you do and your group, you know, and it's a community thing. And if you get community buy-in, you end up with a lot of catchment managers. You end up with people understanding their local environment and how to maintain and improve it, rather than sitting back and letting councillors or councils do it on your behalf, because they charge three times more. There isn't the education component, and it's just not a good work. You know, that's one of my strongest things, as in why I'm standing for council, is to reduce rates and get communities to actually look after themselves, become more self-sustaining, more self-sufficient, without having to rely on councils to do it for them. And it can be done. It's been done in Raglan on a minor scale, but there's a lot of other things that can be done. And so, you know, I'd like to leave it to communities, get out there and let communities come to the council around the table, Community Restoration Committee, and let them tell us what's going to work in their community. You know, the expertise lies within the communities themselves, not top down, bottom up. And that's been my approach.
Yeah, because you mentioned Kiki as being coming to you, but presumably there's people less knowledgeable or less confident or whatever, or less motivated, who don't come to you. So how do you, or how does the council go to them and get them interested? Have you got ideas on how that might work over the next 3 years or so?
Well, again, it's still all through the grapevine. You know, it's a matter of advertising in a local paper. Are you interested? And that's how we started here. It was a flyer that was left around town, and a meeting in the town hall about a particular thing, and 70 people turned up, and we had a bit of a game plan. And who's interested in setting up a community nursery? Who knows where one would be best sited? Who would be interested in running the thing or being part of this? And yeah, it starts off as a purely a voluntary thing, and then as farmers come on board and they're interested in doing a few kilometres each year, they budget in their farm plans to have $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 a year of work done. Suddenly you've got a business. And if you're an incorporated society, you don't pay tax, and you can actually apply for funding to get the costs down as much as possible to assist those landowners to get that work done, and as much done as we can afford, the community can afford, to actually reverse climate change, improve water quality, and build our biodiversity, catch more fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kiki and Whangaroa Environment Care are two exceptions in the region, are they, or are there quite a lot
there
more?
Are. There's Ngāti Hau, which is over towards the east coast. Sorry, John, it's been a long day. And they
sort of beyond Huntly, isn't it? My understanding is my recollection, right?
Well, yeah, towards
the east coast from Huntly,
Piakau area. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. And again, identical. They are actually invited to Harbour Care by Mighty River Power back then, which is now Mercury, and they invited some people to Whangaroa Harbour Care and said, well, look, you know, this might be possible for you to adopt in your areas. And I'm just happy to assist. You know, this is all Aotearoa, this is all our country, and whoever wants to do it, I'll help them. You know, we've got a great land care group in Karamea, up on the Kaipara, Hokianga, Hokitika, and it all in between. And you only have to Google, you know, you get on to the website and you look at where Whangaroa Harbour Care has been involved and who they've supported. It's all there. And I'm very proud of that. And again, that's why I was elected. You know, the farmers in this catchment, even though I'm an environmentalist, put me in the regional council because they know it's good for farming, it's good for the environment. It's good for their marketing image. It's good for the community. And I'm very proud to be put in a position where hopefully be able to now really generate further care groups and more people through council, the interest to continue to roll this out elsewhere. But you see, the problem I have, of course, is staff at the regional council kind of think that maybe we're taking work away from them, that this is their role. And it's a matter of getting staff to understand that they might need to change their role slightly and support the care groups rather than them providing the trees and you know, delivering them to farmers. Because there is a cheaper way of doing it, and again, for all those reasons that I've said, community pride, reduced rates.
That probably isn't cheaper in the end if you've got a lot more doing it, but you're achieving a lot more. Have I understood that right?
Or? Well, regional council don't pay communities to do this work. It's the landowners are paying to have the work done because it's actually economically more viable to have that work done, so they pay. You know, we're actually providing a service.
Okay, and community radio needs money as well, and we get money by playing adverts every half hour. So yeah. Maybe we'll have an ad break, and then we'll come back to this discussion, Fred. So let's see if I can persuade the adverts to play. It's 7:02, and you're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio around your Whangaroa. And I'm talking to Fred Litchfark, one of our regional councillors, who's standing again for regional council. And we'll get back to this discussion in a minute or two, if I can press the right button, which I think I've done.
Cool. Don't forget, if you've got a COVID-related health question, you can also call 0800 611 116. Or if it's a medical emergency, dial 111.
Starting a landscaping project or just need ideas? Come and see us at Raglan Landscape Supplies. We have all the landscaping products you need. From stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meters to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
Please check out our website, www.redlandscapesupplies.co.nz.
We are at 140 Tomato Road. Look for the big green wheelbarrow or ring 825-0577.
Did you know that Raglan was one of the first towns in New Zealand to ban the single-use plastic bag?
Yes! Now join our journey to a reusable Raglan and say...
See ya!
To all sorts of single-use
plastic water bottles,
containers and cutlery,
straws
and coffee cups.
For all these things, we can choose to reuse instead.
Reusable Raglan, the Raglan way.
When in the West, listen to the best, Raglan Community Radio 98.1.
So that was the adverts. It's now 5 minutes past seven, and Fred and I were talking during the break about how people find out who to vote for, because there's four people to vote for two seats on regional council, and you know, I'm pretty well informed as a voter, and most people are probably less informed, but I'm not sure who to vote for.
You're not sure who to vote for, John?
Well, I'll probably vote for you because I know you pretty well, but I've still got another vote.
Well, thank you, John.
How do I use that?
Look, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, that's a very good question. If you have two votes, but you don't have to use two votes. So if you were just to vote for me and not vote for anyone else, that would, in fact, be giving me two votes. How does that work?
Is that because we don't have proportional representation, so I can't put one, two, three, four?
That's right, we're not doing that.
So it's just vote for two people and...
That's
if
right.
I vote for somebody else as well as you, then they might get an extra vote and get in rather than you getting in.
Yeah, you're pretty much cancelling.
On the basis of my vote, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So to give an edge, then you would only use one vote, and that would be for the one particular candidate that really did match what you wanted to achieve or what you think that they supported. There's a lot of misinformation out there with regards to why particular councillors stand. You know, some of them are saying, oh, well, we're opposed to Three Waters and we don't want to give away our water assets and we don't, you know. When it comes to regional council, we don't own assets. We don't rate for water. We don't do any of that. We're
just control the resource consents. So,
yeah, we're a regulatory organisation.
One of the things we've not talked about is the Raglan sewage consent, so that's presumably going through, and the Wharf consent as well. So those are two current ones at the moment. But yeah, let's carry on. Let's carry on talking about the to decide who to vote for.
Yeah. Well, who to vote for? Well, we're a regulatory. Yep, and you're right. You know, so we consent some water use and sewage and that sort of stuff, not roads, footpaths, water to your house, all of that sort of thing. No. Who to vote for? Well, obviously, I'm Raglan, and my roots are most definitely in the whenua, and I'm working, I'm working for Raglan. There's who else would you vote for?
Well, maybe that's a good reason for the 3,500 or 3,000 voters in the Raglan area, but...
Well, it'd certainly help. Yeah, I think it was...
There's about 20,000 in the rest of the district, or more than that, so...
Yeah, and they've got to work it out, too, as to what's best for them. But when it comes to climate change, that's one thing that is right on top of my agenda, you know, and that's regional council's responsibility. And we've got to make substantial change. And
because we did get quite a good turnout to the meeting last week. I think there were probably about 30 or so people came along to a meeting on climate change, but I gather it wasn't too well advertised, so you didn't actually get told about it, was that right?
Well, I wasn't told about it. However, you know, I am pretty tied up with the work that I'm doing. And there is a lot of discussion, and that's pretty much all there is discussion. How are you actually going to, and the 30 people that turned up, going to do something about it? Sure, you can sell your car and ride a bike, but a lot of those rural people are not going to ride your bike into town from Te Mata or Te Uku or anywhere else. You know, there's a lot of things that at this stage are still not practical. However, the one thing we can do, and that works, and that will only work, is the simplest thing of them all, and that's plant trees. And we have so much land out there within our Waikato, even around Whangaroa, which is unproductive land. Farmers have told me they can't afford to plant these things up, but they're happy to have it planted if we could come up with the funds and even the regional council. So this is another thing that I'd like to do with regional council, is to get a register of all of those landowners that have unproductive land and find fits, you know, people that want to offset carbon in whatever way and have that land planted up. And even the council bankroll those.
Because it depends what you call unproductive land, because for a long time the government said, oh, we'll use wastelands, meaning all the bush areas and all the wetland areas, and drain the swamps and chop the forests down.
Oh, John, that's a long time ago. We've moved ahead.
I'm just trying to clarify that's not what you mean by unproductive.
I'm talking about steep hill country. You know, you look at a lot of that stuff around the deviation, a lot of coastal land that you can only graze a few sheep, and the rates and everything else that are being incurred, it's just not economically viable to be farming a lot of that land, or some land out the back that's just not fertile, it's erosion prone. You know, to plant it in trees because it's not worth farming is a way forward to head off climate change, and keep the productive land, the flat rolling pasture that's good for farming, keep that. But the landowners can't afford to buy a whole lot of native trees to do that. So if councils were to bankroll it and acquire the carbon credits until that loan was paid off, and then so the ratepayers aren't out of pocket, and then hand the carbon credits back to the landowner once that was paid off, well then there's a win-win.
Yeah, because part of the Climate Change Commission's plan is to buy credits from abroad. So you're saying don't buy them from abroad, actually invest in trees in this country?
Absolutely, and it can be done. It can be done, but it requires an organisation like the Regional Council to adopt that. So it requires like-minded politicians to see the advantage in what I've just talked about and actually getting on with it. The landowners want it. There's people that want to offset carbon, Air New Zealand or whatever, that want land to be able to do that. And that's not the long-term answer. But in the short term, that's a way that we can start heading off climate change. Yep. So there's another thing that I want to do.
A few minutes ago I mentioned resource consents, and we've not really talked about that because that's quite a big part of what Regional Council does, and I just wondered if you had any insight into what's happening with the WOOF or with the sewage works, or in fact any of the other resource consents around the Whangaroa area.
I've across them pretty much all, John, and they're in a process, you know, and you'll get that from a politician, and really we can't influence. There is no influence. We're kept up to date on what and how things are. And if there are concerns by constituents, I can ask questions on their behalf, but there isn't really political interference when it comes to that. It's a community process, as is happening now over the sewage discharge. You know, people want it land-based, and they're looking at the various options, and and that's the way it's going. And it's taking a hang of a long time, and it's a very expensive process, but that's what the community wants, and that's how councils work. So
that applies to the sewage, but in terms of a wharf, I'm not sure whether it's going to be publicly notified, is it? So maybe we're not going to get a say?
Probably not, because it's not considered something that's going to have major impacts on the wider community.
Because one of the concerns there is the amount of heavy metal that's in some of the sediments around the wharf, presumably from ships of over the century or so.
That's right.
And there's a concern that that shouldn't be stirred up so that it doesn't spread around the harbour.
And I guess that's something that will be taken into account if those issues have been raised, and I know some of them have been raised, and it'll be up to the scientists to determine as to whether or not that's an issue. And again, it'll really depend on the professionals, and we're just kept informed. So we're a conduit for concerns, and if anyone has a particular thing, then I can feed that in. But that's about it. You know, of course, and in the regional council, we're the environmental police force. We are the ones that'll go out there, and if there's an oil spill or a tanker tips over, we try and control that pollution.
Yeah, because one of the other controversial things has been use helicopters or drones, and whether that's spying on people.
Yeah, a lot of that really comes from rural communities, and only a few within those rural communities, and they're the ones that generally don't want people to see what's going on. But the majority, they haven't got a problem with a helicopter or a drone flying over, spying on people. At the moment, you can get such clear resolution from a satellite. It doesn't have to be a drone or a helicopter anymore, and in fact, a lot of the work Regional Council does is through satellite observations. But a lot of people that don't want to be discovered in doing things, they are in strong opposition to being spied on.
Is it an issue that Regional Councils are still split on, or are you all now agreed on what the way forward is on that issue?
At this stage, it was me that, in my desire or will to actually get drones and helicopters back in the air, because we were not picking up the offences. And the costs on the ratepayer to have our environmental police force, our regulatory officers, knocking on all the farm doors and doing inspections was a huge cost. And we weren't getting through all the farms in a manner that would take 5 years. So this was the farmers themselves, or the few farmer councillors, were trying to stifle the process to allow for, in my opinion, dirty daring to continue.
Because most of Waikato rivers are still in a bad state, aren't they?
The rivers are improving.
But they're still in a bad state.
Well,
there's still pollution coming from somewhere.
Look, where does the Hamilton sewage end up? Where does Cambridge sewage end up? Where does Te Awamutu sewage end up? It's not just a farmer's problem. It's us as humans. Where does the stormwater run?
So they need to be using land-based sewage the same as they're looking at here?
Absolutely. All of these consents that come through Regional Council, we're looking at science and technology and how things can be done better than what they are currently, than what's currently happening now. That's the role of regional councils, to constantly try and make improvement. But because consents too, as you know, they go for 30 years. You only get an opportunity every 30 years to install whatever is out there to make those improvements. We're striving for improvement. We have to. We're still losing biodiversity, and generally our water quality is
it can be improved. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not. I don't want to be a doomsday, and all the younger listeners thinking we're, you know, the planet's screwed, because it's not, and we can fix it, and there are ways of doing that, but it requires the right voter and the right candidates to move in that direction.
Yep, and I see we've got about 10 minutes to get to the meet the candidates meeting in the supper room next door. So
excellent.
I'm wondering if it's time to wind up. And you're not actually going to be one of the speakers there, because they're only talking to the mayoral and Whangaroa council candidates. But your turn's coming in a couple of weeks' time, I think, isn't it?
The meeting. More important people are in the next round. Yeah. These ones.
Just the mayor and people like that.
Well, thank you, John, and hopefully I didn't bore the community to tears, and I'd really appreciate their vote, because I do want to do more for our community as far as our natural resources go. Don't call me about potholes, though. That's not my job. Call the mayor.
Yep. That's why you're not standing for mayor.
I'm little interest in potholes and footpaths. In fact, very little interest. I'm the environmentalist. I like trees and catching fish and not locking everything up. I'm definitely a resource user, but the trick is make more of that resource, and that can be done.